Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Before I bring on my most distinguished next guests, a bit of breaking news for all of you at the top of the hour. Donald Trump has now called for the death penalty in all Washington, D.C. murder cases. He said this Tuesday during the weirdest cabinet meeting I have ever observed in my entire 48 years on this planet. Wow. Okay, back to the death penalty part. Don't let me get digress too far here. Again, this is the latest escalation of his show of force related to the nation's capital that he has described as an effort to combat crime, despite facts reported by his own Department of Justice that undercut that claim. The other thing, which I find really interesting about this, is how exactly is that going to work? In federal murder cases, Donald Trump has already restored the ability of federal Justice Department officials to seek the federal death penalty. But in cases involving Washington's local murder laws, there just isn't the death penalty. And the Supreme Court in 1972, by my read, nullified the death penalty in Washington, D.C. I don't know. And more than 100 years ago, the Supreme Court also said that you can't have the death penalty as a mandatory punishment for certain crimes. So, okay, I guess that's a thing. A judge ruled earlier today that Abrego Garcia cannot be deported until at least early October. He remains in ICE custody. His lawyers have now filed a new claim for asylum. We will continue to watch that case closely. Donald Trump continues to pursue the termination of a Federal Reserve Board governor, the first Black woman ever appointed to that position. Here's what University of Michigan economist Justin Wolfers had to say about this. Undermining the Fed to get lower rates now is like ripping the batteries out of your smoke alarm because it's beeping. It's quiet for a bit, and then your house burns down. Credibility anchors expectations, and expectations anchor inflation. I'll have some more breaking news for all of you at the bottom of the hour, and then we will get to J.B. Pritzker's response to Donald Trump's declaration that, well, he's sending the feds to Chi-Town too. All that coming up and more. But right now, let me bring on my two very distinguished guests, former Republican Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen and former chair of the Democratic Party here in the state of Wisconsin, Mike Tate. Gentlemen, it's really nice to have you back. Welcome.
Thanks, Maggie.
Thanks for having us on.
Mr. Attorney General, let's start with you. You both have pledged your support and have joined an organization called the Democracy Defense Project. It is an organization with people from both parties, elected officials, party leaders across Arizona and Georgia and Michigan and Nevada, New Hampshire, Pennsylvania, and of course, Wisconsin. And what is the purpose of the Democracy Defense Project?
Well, I think comments from members of both parties over the years have really made people call into question the safety and the security of our election processes. And it's really our job, I think, to make sure that people understand how the system works and to believe in how the system works. And so it's really our job to take a bipartisan approach in Wisconsin with regards to the two of us and to encourage people to get out there and vote and encourage them by telling them that their vote is safe and secure and it's going to be counted. Many people don't think that's true. We know it's true. We've seen it from the inside, and we want to make sure that we spread that word.
Mike, let me ask you this. There's two things that are true at the same time, and that is we have to vigorously police the safety and security of our election systems, the voting machines, etc. We need to do that. We need to be clear-eyed that foreign actors who wish to see America fail may have their targets on our voting systems. So we need to both be vigilant and help people feel confident that their vote is going to count. How do you balance those two things when you're talking to folks in all of these critically important swing states that I mentioned?
Well, I think there's no tonic like the truth. And, as you just said, two things can be true, which is here in Wisconsin, and I believe every state, they do a very good job of that policing, you said, to make sure there's no interference from actors that are foreign or domestic, to be frank. But I really think the most important thing is it's really hard to have a functioning democracy if people think, you know, when we go cast our ballots, that, man, what if this isn't working right? And I think, you know, the reason you see people that are, you know, politically polar opposites coming together on this is because things that we care about, whether it's similar issues or polar opposite issues, we can't get that done if people don't have faith in democracy. And there's no reason in Wisconsin for people to not have full and complete trust in how our elections are run, how they're administered, how we count the ballots, how results are announced. And that's why I'm really proud to work with, you know, Attorney General and other Republicans and Democrats on this, making sure everyone understands that.
Yeah, our groups really had the opportunity because we have you know, people backing us up and other people working with us behind the scenes. We've really had the opportunity to dive in to how elections work in Wisconsin, to deal with and talk with clerks across the state, and to have an opportunity to look at potential legislation that we should support or not support, how accurate our elections are, how secure they are. We've really been able to look into all the intricacies and every aspect of this. And we can sit here with a bipartisan voice and proclaim that we have very safe and secure and well-run elections here in the state of Wisconsin. And when there's all this chirping out there saying that that's not true, we really need to get out there. And I think when we talk in tandem, we have a little more credibility and we need to set the record straight, encourage people to get out there and vote.
Yeah.
Mike, if I can ask you to specific, does the Democracy Defense Project, again, bipartisan group, former elected officials, party leaders, trying to make sure that people understand the facts about how our voting systems work, our voting processes, do you take a position on things like drop boxes, the security of drop boxes? Do you guys, have you been thinking about, is your organization thinking about what kinds of best practices or getting into some of the security particulars to share some of that information without, of course, creating any sort of risk to the systems themselves?
I mean, absolutely. And I can tell you that, you know, I believe that in the municipalities that utilize drop boxes, that it's a very safe, secure method. I think that, you know, we see record numbers of people voting by mail or voting in person and early in Wisconsin and across the country. I think nationwide, 1 in 3 people voted by mail in the last November's presidential election. And I think that's fabulous that people have, you know, a little more flexibility than having to necessarily stand in line on election day. Maybe they have sick parents to take care of, maybe themselves don't have the ability to get to the polling place on election day. And we can have expanded the ability of how people cast ballots at the same time while maintaining the utmost standards of security and integrity in our election process. And I'm here as a, you know, lifelong Democrat and JB a lifelong Republican to say, you know, in America, we'd make decisions at the ballot box, and those decisions you can trust. And I think, you know, I wish we weren't at a place where you needed people to come up and say it, but I'm proud to stand with those that view this as a priority, because it is incredibly important people trust the results of these elections, because they should.
JB, Mr. Attorney General, let me ask you this. A lot of pointed response to the current president's basically attacks on vote counting machines, the voting machines, as well as mail-in voting, which in many states now is automatic. Everybody gets a ballot. You look at Colorado, a few other states have that, and it has been hugely popular with both Republicans and Democrats. What's your organization's response, and how do we help departisan, like, take this out of a partisan lens? Everyone wants our systems to be safe and secure and to trust that their vote will be counted.
Well, I think our group and you having us on the air is one of the steps that we take to do that. But another one is, during my years as Attorney General, we were roughly evenly split in the states between Republican AGs and Democrat AGs. And one of the things that we could almost always agree on, 99% of the time we could agree on, is defending states' rights and the ability of states to govern themselves, especially when it's explicitly given to them in the Constitution or in other legislation. So I think that in this particular case, you're going to have Republican president who's trying to do more with the virtue of executive orders or on the federal level. And you're going to have Republican leadership in places like Florida and Arizona, who rely very heavily on mail-in balloting and encourage it, who are going to be firing back a little bit and saying, you know, this isn't who we are. This isn't kind of how we roll. Our government was formed by our founding fathers. People seem to forget we look at the United States as a country, and it is a country. But it really was meant to be a conglomeration of states who worked together on a few issues where they needed to band together and work together. The states really had predominant rights over most areas. The federal government has encroached on them a lot over the years. Voting is one of the areas where they really haven't. It's entrenched
until now. It appears, Mr. Attorney General. No,
well, it's
Donald Trump saying he wants access to the voter data.
He
asked. We know it's on the record. Former Attorney General Bill Barr said, "I was asked to go seize voting machines. I won't do it." This Attorney General seems pretty willing to do that stuff.
Yeah,
are we in a different phase? Is that part of the purpose
down,
of your group?
He backed down on the executive order thing a bit when I think he was told that he absolutely couldn't do it. You know, it's pretty clear in our Constitution. It's pretty clear from what legal scholars across the country have been saying that these executive orders with regards to voting aren't going to hold any water. And the federal government really has no control over state and local elections, and they're never going to. And I think that's something that will be fought back against very hard.
One will hope. I think we all thought that about birthright citizenship, and yet here we are. I want to get into this some more, gentlemen. We're going to have to take care of a few messages. Folks, if you're joining us just now, we've got two of my friends and two of yours, former Republican Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen, former chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, Mike Tate. They've been on this program before. They're both part of an organization called the Democracy Defense Project. You can find out more about that at www.democracydefenseproject.org. We'll have that link to the website in our show notes for today. You can find those wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Gents, here's where we're at, right? We have a president that has said some pretty, I think, concerning things. And Mr. Attorney General, I will grant you and agree that I think the law and the Constitution on the things that he said is quite clear. But as a combined impact, I want to talk about if this has a chilling effect aside from the false claims about our election processes and security. Does it have a chilling effect on voters? Is that a problem? And how do these gentlemen in a bipartisan way propose to address it? We got a big midterm cycle coming up. How are we going to feel about it as voters? Don't miss this discussion. It continues on the other side. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.